Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. How do you understand and study the Bible? Now, we have covered in four segments up to this time the basic thing of understanding the Bible. And we have covered the very first point. Now, we mentioned about the Holy Bible in its original order, and that's available online. And the first appendix that we have in the Bible is Appendix A, and we have 14 rules for Bible study. The first rule is, always is. Number one, begin with scriptures that are easy to understand. And then you progress to the more difficult ones. So, let's look at some of the sayings of Jesus, and let's see that they are easy to understand. And then we will look at some of the things that the apostles have written, and they are easy to understand. So come here to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Now, this is called the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was bringing out some very important things concerning the spiritual application of the teachings and laws of God. This is easy to understand. No difficulty. So, regardless of the arguments of men, and we'll cover a couple of those here, and the traditions of men, and this then is a challenge, you can ask the question, who do you really believe? Men or God? Verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Now, is that hard to understand? No. The key falls in two places. Don't think it, and it's not a reality. He did not come to abolish. So the question is, what does it mean to fulfill? Is that another word for do away? No. The word here means to bring to the full or complete. And that's what Jesus' mission was, to complete the law and the prophets. Now, notice another thing easy to understand, verse 18. For truly I say to you, in other words, in truth, I say to you, until the heaven and the earth pass away. Now think about that for a minute, because it's still here, isn't it? Now why did Jesus use the heaven and the earth as a witness to the truth and veracity of what he is saying? Because it's not hard to figure out, is it? No. We live on the earth, we can see it and everything that there is in it. And we can look out to the sky and see the sky in the daytime with the clouds. And at nighttime, we can look out and see all the stars of the universe that we're able to perceive. And what we see is not even just a speck of dust of what God has out there in the universe. Now, how's that for a witness? Based on that, he says, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. Now stop and think about that. God has a plan. It is in progress. And since it's in progress, not everything has been fulfilled. So therefore, everything concerning what is in the Old Testament is viable for us today. And as you will see as you study, Jesus bases his teachings upon the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and then gives us spiritual understanding, which we'll talk about a little later, and how to understand the spiritual things, on why we are here, and a plan of God. Very interesting, isn't it? Until everything has been fulfilled. Now, you want to know, if you want to read about the fulfillment of everything, you read Revelation 21 and 22. The new heaven and the new earth, and that starts a greater fulfillment of a greater plan that God has for all of those who enter into the kingdom of God. So, it's just like your life, as I have had many people do when I'm instructing them. You take a pen or a pencil and you make a dot on a piece of paper. You look at that dot. Very small, isn't it? Maybe if your eyes are not good naturally, you need glasses to even see that. Now think on this. When you were conceived, you were smaller than that dot. Yet look at you now, trillions of cells later. Quite a difference, huh? Likewise, with God's Word. That's why we begin with the simple, the easy to understand, so we can have knowledge of it, we understand it, we can believe it. And then we can build more on that foundation. Because as we saw last time, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, then there a little, and we're to rightly divide the Word of God. So, most preachers stop at verse 18. And then they explain that Jesus fulfilled it all, so therefore there's nothing for us to do. You want to know how to answer that question? Are we living on the new heaven and the new earth today, as recorded in Revelation 21 and 22? No, we're not. So how can then anybody say the whole Old Testament has been fulfilled? It hasn't. And the laws of God have not been abolished. And those are the two main things that people falsely believe in their false Christianity. Yes, they have some truth. They have some ways of understanding. But God wants us to understand the whole truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. Isn't that better than part of the truth? Part of the understanding, and no salvation? Think on that. Now notice verse 19. Now this one becomes easy to understand and a little difficult to understand. Verse 19, therefore, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments. Now, sin is the transgression of the law. Okay? So if you break commandments of God, you're sinning. Now, which commandment is the least? I'll let you think on that. He explains further, therefore, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. All right, let's look at that and let's examine that again with the Sabbath question. All right. If you don't keep the seventh day Sabbath, as God has said, Old Testament and New Testament. And by the way, we have two booklets that you need. One, which day is the true Lord's day, Saturday or Sunday? and the other one, a Sabbath Sunday challenge you have never read. And that will show you that it is known by the religious figures who profess Sunday that they could change the law. Now think on that. Because if you change the law, you abolish one and replace it with another. And Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. All right? So if you're going to break them, if you're going to teach men so, notice, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't even say you're going to make it there. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the way that Matthew writes it, and it is referring to the kingdom of God, which comes from heaven. Now, notice the second part of this. But whoever shall practice and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's easy to understand, isn't it? Well, here at Church at Home and CBCG, Christian Biblical Church of God, this is what we do. We teach people to love God, to believe God, to keep His commandments and His laws. Isn't that good? Let's take one commandment. You shall not bear false witness. What would it be like if nobody lied? Who could we start with? Religionists? Politicians? Business people? The average man and woman? Mother and father? And if that would be the case, guess what? Just that one thing. No lies. What does that do to everything that men have put together? It turns it upside down and on its head. Because truth is truth, and truth is always there, and the Word of God is always there, you see. All right, now notice verse 20. For I say to you, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, there is no way that you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. No salvation unless you have righteousness that is greater than theirs. Now then, did you know that even though the Jewish religion of Judaism professes the commandments of God, that they have superimposed upon that their own traditions, making void the Word of God, as Jesus said. They reject the Word of God to keep their own traditions, so they have their own righteousness based upon their own teachings, claiming they come from God. And that's exactly what the Catholics do and the Protestants do, just like we read where we were yesterday. Okay? Which is that they can't understand the Bible and substitute the way of God with their own traditions learned by rote. You need our book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men. Because Moses did not give oral traditions. Now understand that. That's why we have the Word of God written down, inspired by God, so we won't make the mistake of listening to the teachings of men and accepting and believing them as the teachings of God. Now let's come down here to verse 27. Now here is another easy to understand scripture. Verse 27, you have heard it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now think on that. Where does that leave people today? Well, without the Spirit of God, they can't keep that commandment. But the best they could do is not commit adultery, or what is called fornication, which is any type of sexual immorality. So Jesus said, you have to not only not do it, but you must have your mind changed so that you don't lust. If you don't have the Spirit of God, which we will see later in other studies, then there is no way that you're going to keep that commandment. That's why people say, you cannot keep the commandments of God. Well, you can in the letter. But to keep the commandments of God in your mind and your heart, that's the whole story of the New Testament, see? So this is why Jesus said the following, to show the vast importance between keeping the law in the letter and keeping the law in the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're going to have a difficult time. So he said this, so then if your right eye shall cause you to offend, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is better for you that one of your members should perish than that your whole body be cast into Gehenna. Now then, does God want us to take out our eye, cut off our hand? No, that's to show and teach the extreme lesson of how sinful it is to lust. Now let's look at another verse in Matthew, the fifth chapter, the very last verse, verse 48. This is why he taught what he did, because what he was doing was showing the condition of man without the Spirit of God. Because, see, no one is in the world is complete without the Spirit of God. And 99.999% of the people do not have the Spirit of God. Verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, how? Even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Now, why did he say that? Because that is the ultimate goal of salvation. He doesn't tell us how to do it here, does he? No. The rest of the New Testament tells us that. But this is an introduction to what is to come. Just like the little pinpoint of a speck I ask you to put on a piece of paper represents your life compared to what you are now. Okay? So likewise, where we are now as sinful human beings, needing mercy and forgiveness and salvation, and the Spirit of God and eternal life, in order to become perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. See? So, what Jesus taught sometimes sounds very simple. But how to do it involves many, many more scriptures. That's why it's put together line upon line, a little here and a little there. So that is the ultimate goal of Christians, to enter into the family of God. How's that to be done? Well, that's what we have here with Church at Home and Christian Biblical Church of God, and we've got a brand new book that you need to write for, which is From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? An absolute eye-opening book. Now, then Jesus tells us, continuing on, because this, then, these scriptures that are easy to understand help us to know what we need to do to start. Okay? He says, verse 6, now here's how we are to come to God. And this enters into understanding the Word of God as well, because we need to pray for understanding. We need to pray how to put these things in use in our life, see? But when you pray, don't go out and do it publicly. Don't stand on the street corner. And by the way, you will see that Jesus did not have very many prayers in public, and most of those were extremely short. But when you pray, enter into a private room, and after shutting the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret shall reward you openly. Now, that's easy to understand, isn't it? Yes, it is. You can pray to God anytime, and He will hear and listen. And He will answer, because even though you can't see Him, He is there. And Jesus Christ is at His right hand as our high priest and Savior and intercessor. And it also says, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly, and that is openly to you, with blessing, with understanding, with intervention in your life, with answering that prayer. Now, verse 7, he also gives another warning. This is easy to understand. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. That is, meaningless repetitions.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Now, there are things we need to continuously pray for day after day after day, because there is a need, and God will answer. So vain repetition is like reciting the Mass. That's a vain repetition. Or, as you have in Tibet, what do they have? They walk in long journeys, walking up the mountains, and they have prayer wheels. They walk along, take a couple of steps, and prostrate themselves down on the ground and pray. Vain repetitions. And they have a lot of prayers written on papers that they just let swirl around into the air, and don't supposedly go up to God. No, they don't. They fall back to earth. Don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that by multiplying their words they shall be heard. Now then, do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. But He wants you to ask. He doesn't want you to go off in cocky rebellion and say, well, God knows, He better give it to me because He knows what I need. No, every breath you have comes from Him. Everything that you have in your life comes from Him. And He wants to bless you, but He also wants to have a relationship with you, see? So now what we are doing in this segment is we are putting into application the rules of Bible study and how it pertains to our lives. So here's what is called the Lord's Prayer, verses 9 through 13. Now then, come over here to chapter 7. We'll finish with this. This is simple. This is easy to understand. It's something you can do, and it's something God will do in your life. Verse 7, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Now, all of these things have to do with study and with prayer and with coming to God. Now, notice here's a promise. Whenever you have a promise, it is easy to understand. So you believe it and you apply it to yourself. And with promises, you can remind God that he promised, and he cannot lie and will not lie, and his word is truth. Now notice verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. Isn't that simple? Yes. And the one who seeks finds. God will open the door and work things out. And the one who knocks, it shall be opened. Simple, easy to understand. These are the scriptures that we need to start with, as well as what we have covered in the Psalms and the Proverbs. Now, in the Proverbs, we have a chapter a day for every day that if you go over it repeatedly, 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 that will help you understand the Word of God and help you to see the things you need to do in your life day by day. Now, that was one of the very first things I did when I started studying the Bible, to study the Proverbs and break it down by the various aspects of the book of Proverbs. Now, we have that right online, right here at Church at Home, and you can download it into your smartphone, and you can have it on your smartphone, and you can read it, and you can hear it read, and you can think about it and apply it to your life, and that will help you expand on these last scriptures that we just covered. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.